Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars Thursday from the HananiahAutos.com studio. Brian Sexton and Tony Baselli holding down the
fort. That's all that matters, baby.
Brunel is over there signing like a good sport, signing every item that was left here for
him. We'll get to Brunel and Loggeman later.
He didn't charge me, by the way.
I got to tell you, we got the best producer.
Joe Fortunato?
Oh, we got the best producer in all of football.
Nothing like him.
He almost anchormanned me.
Just ask him.
He almost got me.
He's been waiting all day for you.
You know what? It's called lack of preparation.
You know, on Monday night, you've got yourself, Prisco, and Fortunato. You've got the Italian connection. You dominate. But tonight, you don't. So you enjoy.
No, I actually.
You got to have something going.
I think I do.
Really?
Yeah.
What's
sure.
on your mind tonight? Wait. Before, can we introduce the co-host?
If we have to.
Good Ring to be of here. Honor. Hello. Good to be here. Nice to see you. Was that fun on Sunday?
It was fun. It was everything I hoped it would be.
Was anybody at the end there waving, going, be quiet, we're not going to get back in time?
A couple. Yeah, Dan Edwards was in front.
He said, hey, let's get this thing going. He was panicked. I looked at him.
Hey, I give you credit, though. I mean, you kept your focus and you got through it. It was smooth. It was good, even with the distraction of Dan Edwards telling
Running
you,
hurry up.
Mark, we got a game to play.
And 5 seconds after I finished was the actual kickoff.
Oh, yeah.
It was time to play
football. We missed
the
kickoff and the first play because we had to go to the break. So but we hope that you had a good time.
I did have a good time.
Enjoyed the day.
I did. I certainly did. It's great.
All right. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Anybody got anything on their mind in particular this evening?
Well, Saturday night was good. I mean, the alumni dinner that Shad Khan and Mark Lamping put on in the Upper West Club, that was really good.
Tell them about Jimmy.
I shared it, I guess, pregame, but certainly a lot of people may have not heard it. A lot of guys got up and talked, and I got up there, and I just mentioned that, you know, I look forward to the day when we are all here celebrating that Jimmy Smith is going into the Pride of the Jaguars as well. Because, you know, it would be a celebration for, one, him getting up on the Pride of the Jaguars. But then, number two, it would be a celebration that Jimmy's got things going right in his life.
Yep.
And Fred,
because we all assume that's the only way he gets up there. Now, none of us have anything that no say in it. But
no,
we're all assuming that. None of us did. Mark or I being in the
they don't invite you back to – You don't get a vote?
We don't get votes.
Well, it's funny, though. I actually brought that up this year before he got in.
Shocked.
No, I mean, after he got in, I said, you know, why can't – I mean, I asked who makes the decision. I said, make it like the Heisman. If you're in, you get a vote.
Well, we'd all vote for Jimmy, no
question. No, without a doubt. But I think whoever makes that decision and however it's done, I mean, I think we know basically who does it. Logs is right. It'll be a great day because we all assume part of the – process of him getting up there is
because we believe that.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We believe that, you know,
he's awesome.
You should, I mean, the word pride means that
it's all encompassing.
People would have great pride in this individual, not only on the field, but off the field. And look, Jimmy needs to get his life right. But anyway, Fred Taylor, because I'd asked if any of the guys had talked with him. Aaron Beasley said that he had. Fred said that he had stayed in touch.
Jeff, before you finish it, set up the rest of the evening how a lot of guys get up and talk about Mark and about old stories during the evening.
Well, and that's kind of where it was going. I just wanted to congratulate Mark, and kind of at the very end of that, you know, I brought up about Jimmy. You know, and a lot of guys talked. Jeff Novak talked, which was absolutely hilarious. Kyle Brady got up there, and it was hilarious. He did his mango thing. Beasley got up there. Fred Taylor got up there. Tony, you got up there. I mean, a lot of guys got up there. And some of them were very long-winded. Well, those will remain nameless.
The last one of the evening.
Yeah. and so I brought up Jimmy and asked if anybody had talked to him. Fred said he had. And all of a sudden, after I got done, Fred walked up to me, handed me the phone, and said, "It's Jimmy." And I said, "Jimmy, man, I haven't talked to you in a long time. I love you. How are you doing?" And he sounded great.
He did.
He sounded like
the clearest
Jimmy of old.
It's the best I've heard him sound in years.
Years.
As far as clear thought, speaking clear. And then he got up with Fred held the phone.
Well, hold on. Because, you know, when I got done with Jimmy, I went up to Fred and I said, "Man, thank you so much for letting me talk to Jimmy." And I talked with him, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes, something like that. And I said, you know, I look forward to the day when we're here celebrating you. And And I asked him, you know, when he's going to be able to get back. Because I would love to see him, whether he's going to the Pride or not, to at least come back to that type of function.
Next year. Yep. And we do it again.
Yep. And, you know, if things go right, I think he's on house arrest or whatever. He can't leave. Next year he said that he would be able to do that. And then Fred takes the phone and holds it up to the microphone, and he said, congratulations to you.
Yep.
And that was absolutely the highlight of the evening.
I totally agree.
Because it was Jimmy congratulating you going into the Pride of the Jaguars, and it was a special moment. I really thought it was. It was really, really nice, and I thank Fred. Thank you, Fred, for making that happen, for dialing him up, because it was awesome.
Cool. Any other stories to share?
No, it was...
None that we want to share.
That's why I specifically said any to share, because I'm sure there are some...
Well, we made mention of the fact that, you know, we'd like to see more of the guys come back. You know, I'd love to see Joel Schmange come back. Yep. I'd love to see James Stewart, who's in town at these events.
Pete Mitchell.
Harry Colin, Mickey Washington. I mean, you name it. All the guys that, you know, especially from back what I consider the glory years, which was, you know, the first 5-6 years of the franchise, the guys that helped build the organization. Even Sean Bowens would be nice to see, the old offensive guard. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's some that we don't want to see, but there's a lot of them we would like to see.
And just so everyone knows, it's something that's going to happen every year. Not that someone will get in the Pride of the Jaguars every year, but the alumni weekend will happen every year. One of the games, and it'll be chosen at the beginning of the year, where all the guys get back together and spend the evening together the night before and then come to the game the next day. And I think it's something that Mark Lamping and Shad started. And I think it's really cool that they did it. And have done it, and it's been a lot of fun the last couple of years. I know we've all been a part of it every year, and it's been a good time, and I look forward to the years to come.
Well, and I give the league credit because, I mean, it was alumni weekend throughout the league.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure that every team does their own thing, you know, with it, whether they have a dinner at a restaurant or dinner in a club or whatever, you know, but I thank Shad Khan, and he said, him and Mark both said, you know, they look forward to future years of doing that and expanding it. You know, and I don't know what the definition of expanded means, but, you know, I'd love to have it happen at a, you know, have two functions. You know, one maybe on Friday night that's just the guys, and then, you know, maybe one on Saturday night that could, you know, involve whether it be sponsors, partners, whatever. You know, because, I mean, we all feel part of the Jaguars. I mean, we all help build it. We help kind of establish that tradition early on. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I think, Jeff, too, most teams are just doing the day of. You know, maybe a breakfast before the game, some kind of gathering, announcing before the game or at halftime. I got to think that the Jaguars are going above and beyond what most NFL teams are doing, which is a credit, like Jeff said, to Mark and Shad. It's a special thing that will only grow. And but, man, we're all looking forward to when Jimmy can get on.
Well, it helps sink the roots of the franchise, which is young, even deeper into the community. And, yeah, I mean, you were in Green Bay. Does anybody do it better than Green Bay?
I mean, you talk about tradition.
Yeah. I mean, really embrace the tradition.
Yeah, so. No question.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
Because there is no argument with Jimmy. I mean, if you look at on-the-field stuff, there is no doubt. I mean, he is a guy that has, you know, Hall of Fame-type numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
elite-level performer.
Yeah.
Probably the second-best receiver in the league during his time. I mean, the only guy better is Jerry Rice, who was the all-time great.
Mm-hmm. The only other one that had maybe similar numbers was the guy in Denver, Rod Smith.
Rod Smith didn't.
But Rod Smith was not – I mean, if you're picking teams,
right,
you're picking Jimmy before you pick Rod Smith.
No doubt.
I don't even look at the numbers sometimes. I look at the impact of what a guy would do and the fact that if you asked any corner during that time, no one wanted to play Jimmy Smith one-on-one, and no one could.
The only other guy that was playing during that time, and he came in 98, was Randy Moss. And he was just different.
Right.
Yeah.
Randy Moss. So you got Randy, you have Jerry Rice, you have Jimmy Smith. I mean, you're right. I didn't think of Randy Moss.
Yeah. Amazing how he's gone out of people's thought process as quickly as he has. So let's do this. Let's take our break. When we come back, we've got a lot to talk about with Mark, Tony, and Jeff here on Jaguars Thursday, including your calls at 355-6351-355-NFL1. This is Jaguars Thursday from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, rolling along here with Tony and Mark and Jeff. You can join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Well, okay, so you go into the ring Sunday, Wednesday, Brad Meester says, I'm done. Going to finish it up at home here on Sunday against the Titans, and then on the road against the Indianapolis Colts, and then he's hanging it up.
Selfishly, I'm disappointed.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think he still has something to add to this team, and I'd love for him to come back another year.
One more,
selfishly.
Right.
I'm happy.
He still can play.
That's my point. Selfishly, I wish he would come back. I'm happy for Brad because, he's had a great career. Heck, he's been here so long. He played next to me his rookie year.
That's how old
he
is.
For 16 games. He's been a fabulous player, a fabulous representative of the organization. His family, his daughters have been great part of this community for so long. Selfishly, as I look at this franchise and where it is and how much it's how far it's come just 1 year and what it's going to do next year, I think he's still an asset to this organization, and I'd love him to come back one more year for his 15th year. I know he's not. Maybe he can change his mind over the next couple weeks. I'd love for him to figure out to come back, but I don't think he will.
What's his reasoning? I mean,
I think he's just done.
You know what? I went through. I mean, when you know. You know, when mentally you're done, you gotta get out. I mean, this is not a game to be played when you're kind of one foot in, one foot out. You know, you got to be all in. And so I get that with Brad. I mean, he's probably just emotionally done.
It sounds like he wants to get on with things. I mean, he's been thinking about it. He enrolled. I talked to him earlier today for an interview that will air on our pregame show on Sunday on radio. And it sounded like he enrolled at the WyoTech, the school where he's going to go and take the motorcycle class last year, thinking he wanted to do it then. And so he really wants to get on with that. Sounds like he really wants to get his girls back to Iowa. He told me he missed the field. He missed being out at his father's farm or his father-in-law's farm. And he grew up on a hog farm, and I said, "You miss that?" And he said, "I miss it like you can't believe."
Selfishly, I'm kind of excited because, you know, he's got 190 acres in southern Iowa, Mark, by
really?
The way. Yes, which is, you know.
Oh, look at him perk
really?
Up.
Prime hunting habitat. And so now he can get back home, tend to making sure that we have a great place to hunt with lots of food and lots of deer so he can grow some deer down there.
Oh, Brad's going to get a few calls.
Yeah, he will.
A few?
Yeah.
Just at a shame that Iowa's a draw state. Where you got to draw a tag. But anyway, that's a conversation.
Well, that's for another show that you're on.
Show.
But it did sound to me when I talked to him today like he's ready to get his family back to Iowa and re-engage.
I get it. I'm just saying selfishly I want him back.
Yeah. No, I agree. The thing I like about him is that, you know, he came in as a quiet second-round pick. You know, Northern Iowa, Brad Meester, who? A guard?
Real quiet.
Yeah, real quiet. And then
good player.
And then he made the move to center. And we were talking about this with him earlier.
What
in the
year
league.
Was that?
It was 2003 when Paul Boudreau came in. And the very first preseason game that year was in Minnesota. And he's cleaning guys off the pile. And where did this guy come from?
So, Mark, how many games did you have your hands under his rear end for?
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah, three
the first
games.
Three. That was it. That was it.
So I was trying to got figure that out. It wasn't very long.
He's going to end his career where he started, right, where you ended. Yours essentially with the Jaguars in Indy, your last start.
That's correct.
And Tom Coughlin had his last game as the Jaguars head coach in Indy.
Interesting.
So the great ones go to say goodbye.
You know, the funniest thing about Brad – he, mild-mannered, quiet, didn't say a thing. And so 2003, I leave, I come back, and probably the biggest change of Brad, and he's still quiet, still a great guy, competitor and all that. But you talk about a guy that went from no ink to all kinds of ink. That dude is tatted up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the last person I would expect to get just get the sleeve of tattoos all
farm
over him.
Farm boy from Iowa.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I couldn't
we
believe it. I came back and thought,
too.
No way.
Yeah. We were joking about that today, too. And he said the problem is that he put three of his kids' name on his arm. He kept going because he's got six. He's got to keep going and going and going. And one of his arms looks like he's Samoan. I mean, it's like one of those great big tattoos that those guys get. So
I think you need a tattoo, Baselli.
Ah, probably missed that stage.
Missed
my
the
life.
Window?
Yeah.
Missed the window?
I think
there?
That window's closed, bud.
That never closes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
For you, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's closed. If it has it, my wife would close it for me.
All right, so any other thoughts on Brad Meester?
I'll say it again. I think he has football left in him. I'm excited that he is leaving on his own terms. Not very many people are going to do that. Yep. I obviously did not.
The thing I remember, though, with you talking about with Brad. As you know, offensive line. You know, we've heard Gus talk about it all year long about how, you know, they got to communicate.
Oh, he was the worst,
and he never did with you.
He was a rookie. He was scared to death. He was a very good player. I mean, as a rookie, physically very good, but he did not want to talk. You know, like, Brad, give me a. I mean, let's talk about what we got here. And he got better as it went on, and I laugh all the time. I mean, I'll never one of the funny stories is I got a bunch about Brad that first year, but we're playing Seattle. And that Cortez
Kennedy
and Chad Brown. I mean, two studs on the same side. Brad's nice.
Did they have McCrary then?
No, McCrary was in Baltimore.
Okay.
So it's Chad Brown and Cortez, and Chad always was a handful for me when he was in Pittsburgh, when he was in Seattle. I mean, he was just a tough player.
Good player.
I mean, he was just tough. And I think I had gotten a holding penalty earlier in the game against him or something. Something bad happened anyways. And it was getting late, and we're driving down, and we got down to the 3-yard line to win the game or to send it to overtime. I can't remember. It was late. And we call some protection. It was slide protection to the left, and it was Cortez was in a 2-eye, and Chad Brown's outside. And I tell, because we never slid. It was always a double tween between the center and guard, and the tackle's on an island. Mm-hmm. And I said, Brad, just give a look. And so if you ever wanted help or give the guard, you say, hey, take a look. And so that means if I get beat right off the ball inside.
You're trying to get your rear end covered.
No, I'm saying not really late, but if I get beat early, just be there to take a hit off, so the whole play isn't screwed up, especially if the backer doesn't blitz. Well, I block him, no problem. But all of a sudden I look, and Brad's right next to me. And then we go back and watch film the next day. I'm like, Brad, what are you doing? And he left Smith. Who was the center? Smith.
Was it Quentin Newyear?
Jeff Smith was the center. He left. He never touched the 2-eye.
Left him all alone against Cortez Kennedy.
All by himself.
Which is not good.
Not good. Yeah.
Not good at all.
And we got the playoff, and it was incomplete still. I mean, they defended it. I can't remember what happened. But I remember the next, I said, Brad, what are you doing? He says, well, you told me. I said, take a look. That doesn't mean vacate the entire area and come out and sit there. And he laughed. And so you learn. With rookies, you got to communicate very clearly. What's going on?
I always knew though when he
first moment
that he came in that he needed to play center. Now I'm trying to think of who the center was when he was drafted. That was 2000,
right? Well, and he mentioned Quentin Newyear.
No, it was Quentin Newyear.
No, Jeff Smith ended up being the center that year because Brad's rookie year, Fred Taylor rushed. I was coming off my ACL. I played all 16 games, and Fred Taylor rushed for 9 straight games of 100 yards,
right?
And Jeff Smith was the center
all year.
No, in a row.
Okay.
Consecutive. Jeff Smith was the center.
No, I'm talking about the center. Jeff Smith was the center for all year?
Maybe like after the first couple games he wasn't. And so I know when we were on our stretch, we were playing good as an offensive line.
I thought we had New Year.
Well, no, it says he started 16.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff Smith started 16.
It was Jeff was center. Brad was left guard. I was left tackle. Wiegert was right tackle. And Tilski was right guard, I believe.
Hmm. You're right.
And we play. Actually, that group played all 16 games.
Yep.
Together,
which is very rare.
Wow.
And we ran the ball really well. We actually did pretty good as an offensive line. I don't know what the quarterback's problem was, but we didn't win enough games.
Knew it was a matter of time before Brad was moved to center.
You say that, Jeff, and I agree, but I'll say this. I played next to him. He was a good guard.
Oh, yeah, he was good
player,
for a
rookie,
no matter where he was.
I mean, as a rookie. I mean,
he could have played either. He could have played any three of the interior spots.
Exactly right. And we used to joke about him not communicating, but he got by, I'll say by weeks 7 or 8. I mean, we were on the same page, and it was very seamless with him playing guard.
What are they going to do with Brad? How are they going to honor him at
Well, they're talking about doing something after the game.
After the game?
On the field?
Well, I think they're going to do a something before the game as far as with the introduction.
Right.
And then after the game as well. So for the fans that are coming, come on out. Watch the
around.
Special introduction and then stick around after the game.
Right.
I think the players are going to present something to Brad.
Oh, cool.
Or do some type of presentation to Brad, so that'll be cool.
From an X's and O's standpoint, how do you replace him? A guy who's been the center here for so many years, who's been that point guard, quarterback of the offensive line, how do you
go out and
him?
Draft another guy that can man a position for 14 years?
Yeah, just find a Brad Meester.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Not easy
to do. I mean, but it's not just that he played 14 years, guys. He started day one.
That just doesn't happen.
I mean, I'll go up and tell another Brad story. I mean, we're playing Cleveland, and now I'm telling this story because now I know why he left Cortez Kennedy all by himself and fanned out so quickly, because week one, I mean, we're playing in Cleveland. He's never played before. We are backed up on the 5-yard line. It's loud. It was new Cleveland Stadium. The place was rocking, and we had a protection slide to the left again. And this time the linebacker walked up outside, so I called Fan because I got to go get the linebacker, and he's got to get the defensive end, and the center comes and gets the 3 technique or 1 technique. And so I do it. I go block the end. I mean, I go block the linebacker. I'm thinking all of a sudden I hear the crowd roar and screaming. Brad didn't come. I'm like, what happened to Fan, Brad? He just looked at me like this and didn't say a word. And but he from day one, and now the rest of the game he was fine. But I don't think people appreciate what he's done for 14 years, the consistency and everything else, but started day one as a rookie. And that's not easy to do.
And what's amazing is two surgeries, right? Both bicep tendon tears.
Yep.
One year he missed, what, five games? And then he missed another one that was a little bit
more.
Well,
he had a foot injury, too.
I think he's only missed like
he's missed 15 games.
15 games in his career.
He had a foot injury that cost him a couple games at the beginning of one season, too. But the thing I remember the most about him is he didn't miss a snap in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. It wasn't until 2004 when we were in Tennessee that he missed a couple of snaps because I forget whether he broke the thumb or whether he tore the skin off the thumb, but he missed like three snaps, and it was the first snaps he missed in his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the question for you. 207 starts now. He's got two more left, right? One of only 61 players along the offensive line in the history of the league to play more than 200 games. Can you imagine? I mean, that's
the
beating that he's taken in the middle.
Well, and that's why I say it's very selfish. I want him to come back and play because he's probably saying, that's easy for you to say. My body's had enough, and Jeff's right, emotionally. When you're done, and it's best just to go on and on with your life. He obviously was blessed and gifted by God to have the body that could hold up, and was fortunate that, as we see every week, offensive linemen get rolled up on and things that they can't control. Mm-hmm. And he was very fortunate to stay away from that. And I think part of that being fortunate is when you play hard and you're physical and you get after it, you know, typically your feet are moving and good things happen.
You know, there's an old saying, you know, availability supersedes ability. You know, I mean, Brad is the epitome of that. I mean, I think that longevity doesn't get enough credit in the National Football League.
It's
because I mean, the guys that played the game, and we know how hard it is to get a guy to suit up each and every week. But the people that haven't been in the game and seen what the body takes and what it goes through week after week, year after year, I mean, for the guys that have been in it, for me to appreciate what Brad has done just from a longevity standpoint is crazy. Crazy.
Good for Brad.
It was a foot in 07. It was the biceps in 05 and in 2008. Mm-hmm. So, but you're right, only 15 misses. So is there anybody on this roster, to go back to X's and O's, that could play center? Is there a center in waiting?
That's going to take a lot of time to figure that out in the offseason. I mean, Brewster's a guy, but I mean, me and Tony, we're kind of thinking
Rackley?
The
I would
same.
Say Rackley.
Yeah. I mean, me and Tony's thoughts on Brewster is that I don't know if he has enough power to do that. I like Brewster kind of where he's at now.
Swing guy.
As a swing guy, because he can play center, left guard, right guard, you know, give you what he's got. You know, I don't know if Jock McClendon can snap. You know, we just got done talking to Gus, and he talked about that. The strong hands. I mean, that's the type of traits you'd like to have for a center.
He looks like a center.
I mean, Dermonti Dawson was a perfect example of a guy having strong hands, quickness, and nice balance. You know, so
yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. So if we can get one of those, it'd
be great.
Well, I mean, I guess the point of the conversation.
If you can find those, Jeff, I'll go with
buddy.
You.
We've taken the position for granted since 2003. I mean, Brad has been the guy. Now all of a sudden, I mean, how important is the guy in front of you?
It's critical. You've got to find the right guy that not only can hold up. He's got to be bright. He's got to be smart, making all those calls. And I mean, he's the quarterback of the line.
Here's the other thing. Chances are there's going to be a new quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So next year.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I mean, could be. Could very well
could
be.
Could be, yeah.
And so you'd be looking at new center, new quarterback.
Would you swing in free agency if for some reason the Browns weren't willing to meet Alex Max?
I'd snap him up in a minute.
The center for the Browns is terrific.
He's very good player.
Pretty good.
You know the interesting thing about Brad too. We're talking about center, and we were joking about how he didn't say a word. I mean, think about that's the other thing. Here's a guy who came here wouldn't say boo, the first year, and now he ends up being the longest tenured center, leader of the offensive line, and the quarterback of the offensive line, directing traffic out there. That's pretty amazing. I mean, if you'd have told me year one
in
that this would be the guy that was going to be directing traffic, leading the
no way.
After the first 8 weeks of the season, I'm like, I don't think so. After the last 8 weeks of the season, I say I could see that.
One more quick thought.
He matured so much.
Everyone's heard it. He's the one guy who played for Tom Coughlin who's still left on the roster. I mean, he's seen them all. He's Tom, old. Jack, Mike, now Gus.
Did you get
Mel? Don't forget Mel.
Yeah.
Don't forget Mel.
Yeah, I guess. I've talked about the four head coaches.
Mel's the head coach. Technically, he's the head coach.
Yeah.
I like Mel.
I'm just saying, no, but like that.
Mel's a good coach.
All right.
That is amazing, though.
Yeah, seen it all. We'll take a break. News is next from our friends at News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
You know what's funny? When we were in Nashville back November the 10th, the Titans were 4-4. They were coming off a big win in St. Louis. Chris Johnson had just exploded for 150 yards, and all you heard from the people up there was, watch this team. They've got some things rolling. They'll get the Jaguars, and then they've got a home game against the Colts. The division is there. The playoffs
are
there.
They basically took this the game against the Jaguars for granted, looking towards the Thursday night game against the Colts.
And they got beat there, too. And Delanie Walker talked about how embarrassing it was to lose to the Jaguars. Now, here the Jaguars have won 4 of 6. You know, everyone's upbeat about the future and where it's headed. And in Nashville, everyone's got their head down. I mean, 8 of 10 losses. They're talking about the coach being on the hot seat.
Oh, he's gone.
I mean, they're talking about Chris Johnson gone because he's got a big cap number in his year.
I'd open the door for him.
Absolutely.
There.
So that's one thought. The other thought is, you know, at the end of last year, the Jaguars obviously blew everything up, realized that they didn't have their quarterback, and brought in Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. The Titans took a completely different approach. They doubled down on Jake Locker, spent about $100 million in contracts for 16 free agents, and Bud Adams died without ever seeing any success from what he had done. And now it looks like they're going to have to go back to square one and do what the Jaguars did last year. Interesting how things turn in the matter of
about 4 or 5
weeks.
See them going back to square one. I mean, the general manager, Rustin Webster, it's his second year. Tommy Smith, the son-in-law of Bud Adams, has already given him an endorsement. You know, so I don't see them blowing it up.
Well, not necessarily blowing up Rustin Webster, but blowing up the structure because they've got to pay a huge option in Locker's contract, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So
they won't pay it.
All they thought, you know, Chris Johnson, Jake Locker, here we go. They're going to have to start over in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, those two guys right there, if you guys are building your franchise, would you take either one of them?
No.
Not at all.
No, me
not
either.
At all.
Me either.
Locker can't stay in the field, and when he is on the field, he's not a good passer. He'll run around a little bit, but he's had moments, but he's not that effective.
No, and Chris Johnson.
Finesse.
I mean, soft. I mean, still can be a dynamic guy.
No, he can't.
But I mean, the guy doesn't make the play after play kind of plays. I mean, and that's what you want.
Goes down easier by contact than anybody.
Doesn't hit the hole. You'd love to block for him. Running back that doesn't always want to go to the hole where it's designed to go.
Him and I would have.
What did we decide we were going to tape the last time we played the Titans? There's the cutback.
There's the cutback.
Yeah. That's all he wants to do.
How many times will you say cutback this week?
How many carries will he have?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Here's the numbers. Remember that game in 2011? No, check that. 2009. It was November 1st. He had 228 yards and two touchdowns in excess of 80 yards. Plus, I mean, just blew the whole thing wide open. And since then, he's averaged 49 yards and 3.2 per carry. At that game, you thought, wow, this guy is special.
You know what I remember most about him? What was it? What was his rookie year? He's in his sixth year now.
It was 2008. He had 93 yards.
So 2008.
Yep.
And the Jaguars were facing the Tennessee Titans in week one.
Opening day.
Right?
Here.
Vinny Monowai tore his ACL.
Yeah. So, you know, bring in the coach to do the pregame interview. And I remember it. So Jack comes in and sits down. And so I ask him, you know, what about this Chris Johnson guy? And he says, we're going to apply the Waldo approach to Chris Johnson. So I don't have a clue. What's the Waldo approach? He says, where's Waldo? This guy has just played in 4 preseason games, and he's a rookie. And Jack Del Rio walks in here and tells me we're going to put the Waldo approach on Chris Johnson. But, I mean, that's how good he was right out of the gate. And ever since then, it's since his 2000, you know, CJ2K year.
Right.
Which, what year was that, 2009?
Right.
2009?
It was that year.
He's done. That's it.
You know what? This team scares me, though, now more than they did when we played them the first time.
Why's that?
Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're more dangerous offensively, and they really become a passing team with Fitzpatrick back there.
He threw 58 times last week.
Yeah. Four touchdowns,
over 400 yards.
I mean, but
yards,
he's going to sling
and
it.
Most of it was in the fourth quarter.
And you remember when he came in against the Jaguars the first time? They had some success.
It was uh-oh. You don't want Locker out of there because he was struggling.
Like, can we get Locker to come back off IR for this game?
Do you know, the thing about that last week is, and you guys watched the tape, he didn't have Justin Hunter, who's his big play threat down the field. You know, he didn't have Damian Williams, who had been their fourth receiver.
That's
he was playing with a guy from Heidelberg University.
Yeah, well, that's who did pretty good, by
Michael
the way.
Michael Preston, he had two touchdowns in the last 6 minutes.
That's why he was thrown to their first-round pick from last year, what was it, 14 times or whatever, 15 times that he had, 12 times?
Yeah, 12 catches, yeah.
I mean, Kendall Wright. Cow, Kendall Wright.
12 catches for 150
yards. My point is this is a team. Chris Johnson's not the focus of this offense right now. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick and throwing the ball and moving it around through the air.
Why should it be?
Well, I agree. That's what I'm saying. It's just a different approach as they approach. And so
he's got one 100-yard rushing game this year. And how much are they paying him a year?
$10 million
$3 years a year.
$30 million is essentially what the contract was.
And they've got two
very good offensive line
that are very good.
Left guard is outstanding.
Have been there for a long time. Lavitre, the highest paid free agency.
Romax is for a top 10 pick.
Top 10 pick at right guard. And then the center is a fourth round pick who's a pretty good
player.
Schwenke, I think his name is.
And he got injured in the first game that
and
we
you're telling
saw
me him. That you've only got 100 yard rushing game?
Watch him run, Jeff.
No, I know.
It's like called tiptoe through the tulips.
That's exactly what it is.
It is. It's seriously. It's
wait, can we play that song during the broadcast?
It's almost hard to watch.
I mean, I'm knocking on wood, you know.
It's almost hard to watch.
He doesn't break out, you know.
Oh, he might. I mean,
250-yard game.
He's not doing that. He might have a big run here because he's so fast still and so explosive. But if you just get a pinky on him.
Okay, let me use my Tony Baselli reaction. No, he's not. He's not explosive anymore.
Okay, I'm fine with that, too.
Well, you know what's funny is he got 2,000, then he talked about 2,500, and now he says, well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get 1,000. Now 1,000 is the standard for him to regain his pride.
Well, he'll be on a different team next year.
Yeah, he won't be there.
Where does he go?
Who cares?
I bet you Jeff Fisher wouldn't take him.
No. I don't want him here.
No.
He's done.
What's he worth?
He's not done.
What's he worth? If he were on the
– Wait, say, hold on.
He's not done.
Just stop for a second. You just said he's done?
He's done.
Is this what ESPN pays you all the money for, to say dumb things like that? He's done?
He's done.
He's not done. I mean – that's dumb is what that is.
All right.
If he were on the market today, what would he command?
Done. So you're saying next year.
Oh, no.
A million and a half with an incentive late.
His best years are behind him.
Oh, I agree with
that. He is peaked. But he's on the downhill.
But he'll be on a team next year.
Of course he will.
Oh, I thought you were saying he's done out of the league.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, good.
He's passed his peak.
So did you jump to conclusions based on his statement?
I did jump to conclusions.
Of course he'll be on a squad.
I apologize. But you thought he was saying the same thing, didn't you?
No. I wouldn't think like that about Mark.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
No. I'm with Mark on this. By the way, me and Mark just stomped you last
week. You know where he'll be,
picks,
right?
By the way.
He'll be in Oakland.
No, you did not.
Oakland
will take him. He'll play for the Raiders.
He's fast.
If you were general manager, what would you pay him?
How about?
He's making $10 million a year now.
What's veteran minimum?
I said $1.5 million with an incentive-laden deal.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'll go GM
big time
fall
off. Yep, absolutely. See, I've learned some things over the years. 355-NFL-1.
What would you give him there?
Me?
Yeah. I wouldn't even want him, so I'll give him nothing.
No, he's well never set. Been a problem anywhere.
I don't care. There's nothing. I'll be honest with you. If I'm a GM, there's nothing I give him. I don't want him on my team.
Which is exactly why he'll be at the Raiders.
He doesn't bring the mentality that I want in a backfield of toughness and physicalness and downhill running.
No, but that speed.
Right? That doesn't intrigue me.
That speed. It's
the
just,
Raiders.
It's just, you know, it's just dangling right there in front of you. And, you know, it's talking
dangle
to you going,
away.
Somebody
break
knock
away
on wood.
Speed.
Why?
I don't want him. I don't want us talking like this. And he busts out for 175.
He's not like. Let me ask you. You really? None of us really think that what we say has any bearing on what he does.
No, of course not.
Oh, I've proven it over the years. No,
that's why we've all been knocking on wood on this table.
I have not. I don't believe in that. I think the knocking on the wood. I mean, you and Mark knocking on wood. It means it's not going to change the outcome of anything.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, I do. Wait. I do know.
Is this fishing superstition that's
coming
in? No,
I'm just saying.
In?
I mean, you know, hey.
Will you back me on this? I mean, think.
Oh, yeah. No, I've said a lot of things. It's never had any impact on the game
it's
at all.
Zero. Like
19
what,
years of saying things about games never had an impact
on the
game.
I got to be pretty sure, like, what I say or do and what I think about Chris Johnson has no impact on how Paul Posluszny plays on Sunday or how Roy Miller and Sin Derek Mark play. I don't
You're knocking on wood.
I'm not knocking.
You're
I'm
knocking on wood.
Using,
I can see it.
Joe understands what I'm doing.
Subconsciously,
I'm using my hands
you're
as
knocking
Italian
on wood.
To talk. That's how we talk, right,
Did
Joe?
Did you drop the Italian card?
Yeah, we're
you're
both,
one-eighth Italian.
That one-eighth uses his hands
you're
to speak.
You're Italian in name only.
Well, that in name only, I use my hands like all
you just
great
shattered
Italians.
The image. You just ruined the myth. Holy cow.
Well, you take him out, Joe. I mean,
oh, there's the Italian coming out.
There it is.
We take a break.
Through the window.
Break, Joe.
This is what we'll be. This is what we're gonna be playing. Is the game kicks off
hopefully.
And Chris Johnson
hopefully
gets the first hand up.
Hopefully we can play this for the highlights.
Stop knocking on wood. It doesn't do anything.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
I'd like the record to be shown that Mark Brunell is either greatly mistaken or a flat-out liar saying that I'm only an eighth Italian. We've confirmed in the break that I'm a fourth Italian.
Have we confirmed, though?
Yes, we have confirmed.
How have we confirmed? Because you said...
How do you confirm something like that?
Well, is my dad lying to me?
I need proof.
Did you text
I think Jerry the Springer I, does like some type of blood test.
What do you want? Should we start drawing blood? My dad's
no,
grandfather
I see if you
was Italian.
I want to see if you can cook a pot of Sunday gravy. Isn't that what they call it, Joe?
Gravy. Yeah. Gravy. Can you cook gravy, Joe? No. Are you Italian? Yeah, and that's my whole point. Just because you can't cook, I mean, that's a very stereotypical.
In a very good way, though. It's saying a lot about the Italians.
That's hurtful to me that you're stereotyping me.
That you should expect to cook?
Yes, that's not fair.
Can you cook?
No.
At all?
None.
How in the world do you eat?
I can eat. You don't need to cook if you can eat.
Yeah, if you marry well.
That's what I did.
Let's leave it right at that. All right, games this weekend. Miami's at Buffalo. All of a sudden, Ryan Tannehill's got a bandwagon.
I think
people are jumping
well,
on
Well, no. Wait a second. I was driving that bus before, and Jeff can confirm this. I've been a Tannehill fan all year.
Yeah, but you didn't pick him last week. You picked the Patriots.
I don't think that's correct.
Yes, you did.
I picked the Dolphins.
You know, we stopped keeping track just so we could have this ambiguity in the studio.
Me and Mark picked the Dolphins.
No, come on. You're kidding me, right?
No.
I am a fan of Ryan Tannehill. I think he is a franchise quarterback. We talked about it Monday night. Joe Philbin needs a lot of credit. He's doing a heck of a job coaching that team.
Keeping it all together.
They're going to win. I think they're going to win the last two, and I think they get in as the sixth seed in the wild card, and I think they'll be dangerous this year. If you look at their schedule, it's favorable. Bills, Jets, they win those two, and they control their own destiny for the wild card.
I'll go with Miami. Absolutely.
No E.J. Manuel.
Yeah,
I'm taking Lewis. Taking Miami.
How about this one? Minnesota, who walloped the Eagles last week. Go figure that
They're
one,
hot.
Right? Yeah, they are. They go to Cincinnati, where the Bengals can't get a game with playoff implications sold out. Probably
yeah.
Black that one out.
Yeah,
that's what talking about.
You know, what have the Bengals done lately?
Well, they've been in the playoffs the last 2 years.
No, I know.
They
I
beat
know,
the Steelers
but,
pretty
you know,
good
they always kind of they always kind of seem to kind of fade at the end.
Well, they control, they control their own destiny. If they win the next two, they're AFC North champs.
All right.
And they play Baltimore. They got to win this week, and then they play Baltimore for the
title. So who do they play this week? Cincinnati?
They host Minnesota.
They're
beat Minnesota?
They'll beat
yeah,
Minnesota.
Cincinnati. Yep.
How about Indianapolis at Kansas City? That's not a good matchup for the Colts.
Well, that's interesting because that's most likely going to be the first-round playoffs in Indianapolis. And Andy Reid was asked, I mean, do you hold things back? And he said no. I worry about the Colts. They're not very good up front. They can't really run the ball that well. No Reggie Wayne. Defense is average. I like Cincinnati. I mean, Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Yeah, when they're at home, right?
Yeah, their pass rush has really picked up recently. Tampa Bay's at St. Louis.
I don't really care.
Okay. We'll just move along. Cleveland to the Jets.
Whoa.
That's good.
I'm going to take St. Louis.
Me too. Then.
After what they did last week,
Drew Brees. What in the wild world? I mean, for the St. Louis to pop up and whack
New Orleans, the Saints.
I
don't care what Drew Brees says. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, but they're not very good on the road. I know he has all the statistics since 2009, but heck, I can pick a year in the middle of nowhere and make stats dance and do what I want them to do, and that's what he's done picking from 2009. They're terrible on the. They're not at the same team. They're just not. They're not as good. No matter what he says.
All right, so no one cares about that game. Does anyone care about Cleveland at the Jets?
Yeah.
Oh, Benny and the Jets. I'm going with Benny.
You're going with Benny?
Yeah.
That means you're picking the Jets.
Yeah, Benny and the Jets.
Okay. I'll take Cleveland.
I'm going with the Jets.
Dallas at Washington.
Ooh.
Dallas.
What a disaster.
Train wreck.
Which one? Which side?
Oh, both. I think both staffs are fired.
Even though Jerry says no.
Oh, come on.
I don't think that matters what Jerry says right now.
What's going to happen after they – it doesn't matter. This game doesn't matter for the Cowboys. They can lose it. Doesn't have any bearing on next week. Because if they win next week against Philly, they're in.
No, they're not. If they lose –
turn your mic on.
Turn your mic on. And say
I mean, what are you doing?
Radio boy. This is radio.
If they lose – the Cowboys lose and the Eagles win, it's over. They'll be up two games.
There you go. Get your facts straight, Pacelli.
You sure about that?
I'm taking the Redskins.
You're talking to a dyed-in-the-wool Eagles fan there.
I'm going with Kirk Cousins.
Even though he went to work for the Cowboys in 2008.
Oh, you're right.
That was a joke, wasn't it?
No, you're right, because if Dallas wins, then the Philly game doesn't mean anything that night. You're right.
Okay, how about New Orleans at Carolina? Rematch of a game 2 weeks ago.
One of the games of the week.
Ooh. Carolina.
At home.
It's at home. It's outside. It's going to be on the grass. Weather might be an issue. Listen, the Saints aren't the same team, and that defense is going to get after them. They've cut the kicker Hartley. They've changed out their left tackle because Charles Brown couldn't block anybody. And it's funny, I said that to the staff when I did the Sunday night game up there. I was talking to some of the coaches. I said, "You got issues at left tackle." And they said, "Oh no, he's fine. Well, he's not starting anymore, so he's not fine." Carolina understands if they can win this game, they can control their own destiny. They win the they have a chance to win the title.
I'm gonna go with New Orleans.
I like Carolina.
I like New Orleans. I like how they rebounded from the Seattle
they're
game.
Awful
I know
on
they're
the road.
Going on the road, but they'll beat the Panthers.
All right, Denver's at Houston.
Hold on. Who are you going with there?
I'm going Tiger. Drew Brees.
Oh gosh,
Drew Brees.
I mean, if there was ever a guy that's
mark
be
that
motivated,
one down. Write that one down.
Write it pick down.
I pick the Panthers.
I won't forget that
unless
one.
They lose.
That's the Denver's at Houston, and Matt Schaub's going to start.
And who? Houston. Denver.
Denver.
Houston's quit. I mean, look what they did last week.
I was going to say, Denver can lock up home field.
Denver.
There's not a chance.
The Giants are Detroit.
Woo! Tom.
Tom.
Oh, boy.
I don't think so.
Shutout last week.
That's a bad team.
Can they score any
Victor
points
Cruz,
this week?
Yeah, Victor Cruz went under the knife today. He's done. They are a bad football team. I like the Lions.
You like the Lions?
Everything. I'm going to go Giants.
You're going to
I'm going to go Giants.
They're
I'm going
bad
Tom.
Football team.
The rest of the slate has some playoffs.
I just can't pick Detroit bad at the end of the season. I'm going Tom.
Arizona at Seattle.
Seattle. But, you know, that's the other game of the week right there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, two division matchups that are awesome, and neither one of them were flexed into the Sunday night spot. Surprising.
That is surprising.
What's the Sunday night game?
Chicago at Philadelphia.
And that game could mean nothing.
Could.
It could be if Dallas beats Washington, it means nothing.
Let's talk about this game.
It means something for the Bears, but it means nothing for the Philadelphia.
We have just over a minute. Pittsburgh, who's not playing for anything, goes to Green Bay, who all of a sudden is because of Detroit's loss.
And Aaron Rodgers still has not been cleared.
Not been cleared, but he's been practicing.
Yeah.
What do you
think?
When
do they make that decision? When are they going to decide
tomorrow.
That one?
Well, tomorrow.
Is he going to decide tomorrow?
They don't have to make that decision.
No, but Mike McCarthy said they'll make the decision
91 minutes before.
They'll make the decision after practice tomorrow.
I think Rodgers plays.
It's a really interesting decision.
I mean, what better storyline could you have when the games mean something and you get your guy back?
Well, and remember, Green Bay finishes the season next Sunday against Chicago in Chicago.
Yeah, when Aaron Rodgers starts talking about
that's
how you have to measure the risk versus reward, which means in his mind he's thinking, hey, look, if I'm risking something, hey, look, the reward is possibly great. He's going to
you
play.
Know, if Green Bay wins – and Chicago wins, Detroit's out of the playoffs.
Right.
And then the game next week is
decides
for division and who gets in. Because none of them can get into the wild card.
All right, guys, thanks so much.
Great
Jaguars
stuff.
Thursday is
love this time of year.
Done. From the HannityAutos.com studio, have a great night, everybody.